I will call the Public Utilities Commission meeting to order July 19th, 9:30 a.m. I'm Chairman Nelson. I have with me Commissioners Hansen and Feagan. Is there a motion regarding the minutes?
Move to approve.
Those would be the minutes of July 5th. Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. Commissioner Hansen.
Aye.
Commissioner Feagan.
Feagan votes aye.
Nelson votes aye. The minutes are approved. Consumer reports from Deb Gregg.
Thank you, Chairman Nelson. The Commission received a total of 39 contacts since the last report was prepared for the July 5th, 2016 Commission meeting. 8 of the contacts involved telecommunication services, 11 of the contacts involved electric service, 3 contacts related to wireless service, 2 contacts related to the Do Not Call registry, 3 contacts related to Dakota Access Pipeline, and 12 contacts related to issues not regulated by the PUC. Still have 2 open complaints from 2014, and 721 of the 740 complaints received in 2016 have been resolved.
Thank you. Questions? Seeing none, I appreciate your being up here. We will move into our electric docket. First is EL 16-022, in the matter of the application by Prevailing Winds LLC for a wind energy facility permit for Prevailing Winds Wind Energy Facility. And the question today is, shall the Commission assess a filing fee not to exceed $353,500 with an initial deposit of $8,000, and shall the Commission authorize the Executive Director to enter into necessary consulting contracts? And to explain that request, I am going to go to Commission staff.
Commissioner, this is a matter raised for staff. On June 28, 2016, Prevailing Winds filed an application for a wind energy facility permit, SDCL 4941B12 establishes the fee to be charged with a minimum initial deposit of $8,000, and then it is an additional It's a maximum of 0.25% for the first 100 million and 0.20% for the additional estimated cost to construct the facility. In the application, Prevailing Winds estimated the cost of the facility is $300 million. At this point, staff would ask the commission to impose the fee not to exceed $353,500 with an initial deposit of $8,000, and also request the commission to allow the executive director to enter into consulting contracts if necessary to move the application forward.
Thank you, and I will turn to Prevailing Winds. Any comment on that request?
Thank you, Chairman Nelson. This is Lee Magnuson. I'm in the Sioux Falls office of Lindquist and Benham. Are you able to hear me okay?
We can, yes.
Very good. Thank you. I represent Prevailing Winds, LLC. We have 2 other people on the phone with us today. The first is Roland Juergens, who is the project manager for Prevailing Winds. You may recall that Roland was the project manager for B&H Wind, the Beethoven project that is now operating and owned by Northwestern Energy. Also on the phone today, we have Jennifer Bell, who is a permit architect and preparer with Burns and McDonald, and she's been retained by Prevailing Winds. You may recall that she recently worked on the Willow Creek Wind Energy Permit in South Dakota that came before the commission last year. With those introductions, we certainly remain available to answer any questions that you might have, and we have no objection to the proposal that is before the commission today.
Thank you. With that, I will turn to commission questions. What very, very hard questions do we have for Ms. Reese today? Commissioner Hansen.
Well, we be receiving an itemized ledger on expenses with this?
Commissioner, yes.
Thank you. No further.
Thank you for the listening audience. Ms. Reese is a new attorney with the PUC staff, and we're having just a little bit of fun with her at her first appearance in front of the commission today. Additional questions? Hearing none, is there a motion?
Mr. Chairman, in docket EL16-022, I move that the Commission assess a filing fee not to exceed $353,500 with an initial deposit of $8,000. I further move that the Commission authorize the Executive Director to enter into necessary consulting contracts.
Discussion on the motion. Hearing none. All those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. Commissioner Hansen.
Aye.
Commissioner Fegan.
Fegan votes aye.
Nelson votes aye. Motion carries. That'll bring us to telecommunications, and we'll start with TC16-006 in the matter of the request by Northeast Nebraska Telephone Company, study area 371576 for certification regarding its use of federal universal service support. And I will, Alyssa Ahrens, have you joined us?
Yes, we're here.
I will turn to you. Thank you. Do you have any comment on your request?
No, this is Pat Mapper. I'm also with Alyssa. It's what we've done in the past and shown the funds that we've received as requested by the state of South Dakota. We only have 8 customers that reside in South Dakota. Majority of our customers reside in Nebraska.
Very good. I will then turn to staff.
Thank you, Chairman Nelson. This is Joe Rizak with staff. Staff has reviewed the filing and recommends granting the requested waiver of the requirements under ARSD 20:10:32:56 for the period of 1 year, and that the Commission certify Northeast Nebraska Telephone Company.
Thank you. Questions from the Commission. I'm going to ask a question of Deb Gregg. And Deb did not know this was coming, but throughout the pendency as we go through these U.S. Universal Service dockets, I want to make sure that we don't have a disconnect between what's actually getting filed with us and complaints that you may be receiving from customers. And so with each of these dockets over the next couple of months, I'm going to ask you, are there complaints that we need to be aware of? And so in this case, are you aware of any complaints with this company?
No, I'm not aware of any complaints.
Thank you. Other commissioner questions? Is there a motion?
Mr. Chairman, in TC16-006, move that the commission grant the 1 year waiver and provide a certification to the Federal Communication Commission and to the Universal Service Administration Company regarding the use of federal universal service support.
Discussion on the motion. Let me just say that I certainly support the motion. The fact that we've only got 8 customers and they're being served with fiber, well, we can't ask for any more than that, and so we are certainly willing to give the company the waiver under those conditions. Additional discussion.
And we would certainly like that speed all across the state of South Dakota, not just 8 customers.
Additional discussion. Hearing none, all those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. Commissioner Hansen.
Aye.
Commissioner Fegan.
Fegan votes aye.
Nelson votes aye. Motion carries. Thank you, folks, for being on the line with us today.
Thank you.
Brings us to TC16-008 in the matter of the filing by DishNet Wireline LLC for approval of revisions to its access services tariff number 2. Mr. Isar.
Morning, Chairman Nelson, Commissioners. This is Andrew Isar on behalf of DishNet Wireline LLC. This filing was made June 16th to comply with the Federal Communications Commission's rules governing switched exchange access services, and specifically for the competitive local exchange carriers, Section 51.911C. In this filing, we are simply setting the company's rates at parity with those filed by CenturyLink effective July 1, 2016, and mirroring both terminating access and originating access rates.
Thank you. Staff.
Thank you, Chairman Nelson. This is Lorena Reichert of staff. I would rely on staff's memo, and staff is available for any questions.
Questions from the commission. I am going to begin with a question for staff, and as always, we greatly appreciate your memo, but that's where my question resides. As I'm looking at the table, very well laid out table on page one, you indicate all of the different rate components that make up the final rate. Where my puzzlement comes in is the purple area for tandem transmission has a fixed rate. And then the light green has a rate per mile. Okay, those are two, that's like apples and oranges. Those are two very different types of measurements. And yet, in this table, we're just adding everything together to come up with a total. And so my question is, for those components in the green that are actually on a per mile basis, isn't that rate going to vary based on mileage? And so how can you just add in the 0.00003?
The mileage is going to vary, but the thing to remember here is for all those different mileage bands, it's still the 0.0003. And in the past, those used to be different prices.
Well, I get that, but it says it's 0.0003 per mile. And so based on the mileage, that figure is going to have to vary, isn't it?
That's a very interesting point. I'm not quite sure.
Chairman Nelson, this is Andrew Isar. By convention, when we determine the rates, we use 1 mile. In other words, it's a single rate that will not vary by mileage regardless of the number of miles. And for most of our, for companies like DishNet that are unbundled network element-based companies, they would not be increasing the rate by mileage. So it's a single rate for 1 mile, and it's presumed to remain 1 mile regardless because, again, as a uni-based company, the mileage considerations don't come into play.
That's exactly the answer I needed, and that's what Lorena was going to tell us. Andrew, I appreciate your jumping in with that.
Certainly.
Other commissioner questions? Hearing none, is there a motion? I'll move in TC 16-008 that the commission approve DishNet's revision to its tariff number 2. Discussion on the motion. Hearing none, all those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. Commissioner Hansen.
Aye.
Commissioner Fegan.
Fegan votes aye.
Nelson votes aye. Motion carries. Andrew, thanks for being on with us.
Thank you very much. Have a good day.
And that brings us to TC. Pardon? Okay. That brings us to TC 16-010 in the matter of the request of Golden West Telecommunications Cooperative, Inc. for study area codes Armor 391640, Golden West Telecom 391659, Kadoka 691667, Sioux Valley 91677, Union 391684, and Vivian 391686 for certification regarding its use of Federal Universal Service Support. Ms. Northrup.
Yes, good morning, Commissioners. My name is Margo Northrup. I'm an attorney at the Ryder Law Firm here in Pierre, and I represent Golden West Telecommunications Cooperative Incorporated, which is a cooperative telephone company based out of Wall, South Dakota. I have Jill Reinert on the phone today if we have any other questions about the filing. We're pleased to be here today to ask you to provide the proper certification to the FCC and USAC. This is our annual ETC filing. It actually is also one of the largest ones, and that's because we provide information on each of the 6 study areas that Golden West has. All of the dockets will have a 481, which is the form that they file with the FCC. We've provided both redacted and unredacted copies of that. We've also provided a form 477, which is an FCC form for each one of the study areas for the broadband information. And then also the petition has covered the administrative rules that were required to certify to you so that you can in turn certify this company and hopefully many other companies in the coming months to the FCC and USAC. That's what we're requesting today, Commissioner.
Thank you. We'll go to staff.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is Pat Stephenson of staff. Staff has reviewed the filing, and Golden West has responded to our data requests. One thing I will mention real quickly is the Sioux Valley study area will need a 3 put on there for the order. That 5 digits is actually supposed to be 6 digits with a 391677. Otherwise, we would recommend granting certification to USAC and FCC. Thanks.
Thank you. Questions from the commission. And let me just say at the outset, I've got some questions that deal with some of the confidential data, and so we are going to go into confidential. But if there's questions that don't deal with that, let's take those first. Commissioner Feagin.
I have a question about one of the service areas, and everything it looks like is confidential, so I think I will wait for my call for confidential.
Okay. Any other questions that would not be dealing with confidential information? If not, at this point, we are going to go into a confidential session because of the confidential nature of the data that was filed. We are now out of confidential session, and I'm going to recognize Commissioner Feagin.
Thank you. Mr. Law, we travel a lot across the state of South Dakota as commissioners, and you have a very wide territory. So we get a lot of questions. Often I get questions from your Hartford Exchange from a legislator. I see that you are building out in 2016. Can you give me the report on how that's going and when do you expect that to be done? And is that rural and in the town of Hartford?
Thank you, Commissioner. I'll parse my response into two sections. Regarding the town of Hartford, being the city of Hartford, we are actively engaged right now in a total reconstruction of placement of fiber to the home and business to every location within the town of Hartford. We do anticipate completion in 2016 in terms of the construction. The physical construction should be completed in 2016. We are hoping also for cutover, meaning activation of all of those subscribers in Hartford to the new fiber optic system in 2016 as well. It will be tight to get them all cut over in 2016, but that is our goal at this point. Regarding the remainder of the rural Hartford Exchange, not town, but the rural Hartford, including Wall Lake, we actually have done fiber to the home in prior years, and so all of that exchange, the Hartford Exchange, both rural as well as Wall Lake, are already fiber to the home, and by the end of 2016, the town of Hartford will be fiber to the home as well, completed by the end of this year.
Thank you.
I'm going to follow up with a similar question. Denny, in the past, you and I have had some conversations about Dell Rapids. It looks like over the last year or two, you've done some build-out in Dell Rapids. Can you just talk to us about that?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yes, we are currently completing the construction of fiber to the home and business in Del Rapids Town, not necessarily all of the rural, but in the town of Del Rapids. We began that project in 2015. Given both the size of that project as well as challenges in terrain in Del Rapids, given the, quite frankly, the rock and the stone in portions of Del Rapids requires additional construction measures be taken. We had to split that project into a two-year project. We began in 2015. We have nearly completed the construction of Del Rapids Town in 2016, and we will have that system cut over entirely by the end of this year.
That is a great answer. Thank you. Additional questions, Commissioner Feagin.
One more question. As you know, commissioners are always concerned about 811 calls and cut fiber, especially when it impacts our customers. I noticed, I'm sure there's more cut fiber. I saw one in Hutchinson County. Do you report those as complaints to the 811 board when a contractor cuts fiber and maybe doesn't call, or do you investigate that, or how do you do that?
On the scenario, Commissioner, historically, we have, to my knowledge, had less issues with contractors or other excavators not calling as opposed to either hitting it for whatever other reason, whether it was disregard to locate, what have you. The short answer to your question is I'm not aware of any referrals we have done to the 811 board of late, but depending on the situation or circumstance by which we had a fiber cut, certainly that would be an option that we are aware of and would go that route if we felt necessary.
So then, Mr. Law, when do you think that would be necessary?
I'll play a hypothetical, Commissioner. A hypothetical would be if there is a, I'll say, a blatant disregard of not requesting a locate, particularly in an area that is clearly marked by what we call pencil sticks, the fiber markers that you'll see that are typically white with a big orange top on them. That would be one of the situations. We've not had a lot of that of late, to my knowledge. But that would be the primary one where an excavator just blatantly disregarded. We understand occasionally accidents happen, but where we feel that it was perhaps either a blatant disregard of the 811 locate and or a blatant disregard. Early in my career, I had companies that would say, they're in a hurry, just cut it and we'll deal with it later. And certainly that would give us rise to report that complaint. Those would be two hypothetical scenarios I would probably use as litmus tests.
Okay, thank you. Anytime, the commissioners, and I'm sure I talk for all the commissioners, when we get an outage report on a cut fiber or a gas line or whatever, it always raises our antennas and what's happening and how people are protecting their infrastructure. Thank you.
Additional commissioner questions? If not, is there a motion? I will move in TC 16-010 that the commission provide certification to the Federal Communications Commission and to the Universal Service Administration Company regarding the use of federal universal service support. Discussion on the motion. I'll simply say, we've had a very brief discussion about Hartford and Del Rapids and the progress that's being made there. But as one digs into the filing, understand that there's progress being made elsewhere in Golden West territories and that it appears as a company they have made a significant and serious commitment to continuing the broadband march of rolling that out throughout their territories. And we greatly appreciate that and everything you're doing out there, Mr. Law. Additional discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. Commissioner Hansen?
Aye.
Commissioner Fegan?
Fegan votes aye.
Nelson votes aye. Motion carries. The only announcement I've got is the next regular meeting will be August 2nd, 9:30 a.m. right here. Anything else for the good of the order? Seeing none, is there a motion?
Move to adjourn.
Move to adjourn. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. Commissioner Hansen?
Aye.
Commissioner Fegan?
Fegan votes aye.
Nelson votes aye. Motion carries. We are adjourned.